Hey guys, so I'm joined with Pastor Jonathan Shelley, and in this video, we're going to be reacting to Norm Diamante's video talking about calling upon the name of the Lord. So let's just get right into it and play his video.
Is a public confession or a sinner's prayer necessary for salvation? Now, the short answer is absolutely not. The very moment someone believes on Christ, trusting him alone to save them, they are saved, period. The instant, the very moment someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are saved. The Bible is very clear about the subject of salvation. We are saved by grace through faith alone. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. With a confession or without a confession.
Now, if you wanted my Bible, you would ask me for it.
Yes.
If God has a gift that you want, if God has salvation, he wants to give it to you. The next step is to ask him for it. It's as simple as changing what you believe, telling God that, asking him to save you. And in that instant, in that moment of time, you're saved forever. It's as simple as that. So before I leave, I could lead you in a quick word of prayer.
Okay.
I could pray, you could repeat after me.
Okay.
And I could help you tell God that this is what you believe, ask him to save you. And if you mean that in your heart, he'll do it right now.
Okay.
You
want
to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So just bow your head and just repeat this after me and mean this in your heart.
Okay.
Dear Jesus,
they believed on Christ and they received salvation without a public confession, without repeating a sinner's prayer. Is a public confession or a sinner's prayer necessary for salvation? Absolutely not, my friend. We are saved by grace through faith alone, with or without a confession.
Wow. Well, you know, I guess, which Norm are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the Norm that tells people they need to pray and repeat a prayer, or the one that
repeat
says,
a prayer?
You don't have to confess. You don't have to repeat a prayer, you know, to be saved. You know, this guy's just prideful. He's just an arrogant jerk that, you know, changed his mind. And I mean, how does he even reconcile this? Was he like a false prophet teaching a false gospel back in before when he's like telling people, like helping them pray?
It confused me, to be honest.
You know, I guess praying is just somehow a magical, you know, it's just adding all these works to salvation, yeah. Asking God to save you.
You know, you're asking for it, so it's a work.
Oh, man. You know, those people on the street are working pretty hard, you know, when they're standing out there with their sign.
Yeah.
Asking for free money.
Free money.
I mean, they don't want to, you know, stop working.
Yeah. You know, my daughter, she asked me for $100 the other day and I gave it to her, but she had to work for it, I guess, because she had to ask for it.
Yeah. I mean, asking is pretty difficult and, yeah. You know, it's a full-time job.
Well,
believing
requires brain power. So therefore, okay. You actually have to be in a full-blown coma in order to not work your way.
Yeah. Well, you did have to move your mouth, and sometimes that's kind of like work. So.
Yeah. But even if your heart, you're believing in your heart, that's a work.
I mean, your heart has to pump blood.
So was Abraham?
Your heart's pumping every minute.
Was Abraham not saved because he called upon the name of the Lord in Genesis?
I mean, yeah, the Apostle Paul wasn't saved when he called on the name of the Lord. And, you know, again, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter number 10 that what he preaches is for people to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So yeah. I guess, is he preaching a false gospel too?
I guess. But what's funny to me is that it's a straw man. These people make up this whole thing. Well, public confession. Nobody said you need to go into the public in front of everybody and just confess Jesus. Nobody said that. You could do it in your heart, ask Jesus to save you. You could go into your closet all by yourself in your house where nobody's there and ask Jesus to save you. Nobody says that you need to repeat a prayer.
Yeah, of course, we learn things through repetition, so there's nothing wrong with repeating a prayer. Just like Jesus' disciples learned how to pray from Jesus telling them and giving them an example of how to pray. And we learned how to walk by watching other people walk and repeat how they walk. I mean, you learn everything by repeating.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with helping someone. But if someone prayed a unique prayer that it's never been prayed before, of their own words, asking Jesus to save them, putting their faith in him, of course they would be saved. So it's just a silly straw man argument that this guy's making up, this idea that somehow, you know, calling on the name of the Lord or asking is like work salvation.
Yeah, Jack Smack said that as well, that it's total work salvation, that you guys preach a total work salvation because you have to ask Jesus to save you.
I mean, this is just silly. This is just a misunderstanding of so much of the Bible. And really, I would want to say, what's the motivation in this? Because virtually every single person that teaches the right salvation believes this. And even these guys taught this and believe this.
Yeah.
So it's just everybody a false prophet, and they were false prophets. And then now only these few gurus online have come to the knowledge of the truth and realized that this is a works-based salvation. We need to just believe only.
Like when Jesus said in John 4:10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is to say it to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Well, I thought, she worked for it, though.
She asked.
By asking.
When they said, come drink freely, well, you had to drink, so that was a work.
Yeah.
You actually had to do something.
Again, obviously no one's denying. Like, I'm not denying that what saves you is the moment you believe.
Yeah.
I would say that too. I would say, hey, the moment you believe, the moment you trust Christ, the moment you put faith in him, you're saved. The question is often then, well, how do I do that? And in fact, when we go soul winning, I've had people ask me that. You know, you show them the gospel, you're showing them believe, and they say, okay, well, how do I do that? And then it's like, okay, well, here's the Bible telling you exactly how to do it, Romans chapter number 10, and it's telling you to, hey, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. And so why would I not follow the clear instructions of the scripture and help that person to call upon the name of the Lord and ask for that salvation? Because without that moment of calling or deciding, sometimes people will say they believe, but they really don't yet. They don't really understand what is at stake here, and that calling on the name of the Lord is kind of that moment for someone to place their faith in Jesus, to truly trust in him, and to be saved.
Yeah, and there's that comment of Norm saying that he's never called upon the name of the Lord, but he's telling other people to do it in the video. It's so confusing.
Yeah, I mean, how have you never asked Jesus to save you? But think about this, because he's having them repeat his words.
Yeah.
So he literally did say, like, Lord, please save me and give me eternal life. But I guess just because he was only doing it for them, he didn't really mean it when he said it or something. Like, how does that work?
The whole thing is just so confusing, and it's unnecessary. It's just more division.
It's just pride.
Exactly. And it's like, and they're making up arguments that are non-existent. Like, I have never heard you say that you have to go make a public confession in front of everyone to be saved.
I've never heard anybody say that. Maybe it exists out there. Maybe there's someone that does believe you have to be this public confession to be saved. But, you know, really the scripture teaches that, you know, even if you prayed in your heart quietly, obviously the Lord can hear your words. Yeah. But, you know, think about it this way. Abraham and Sarah, when they were confronted with the Lord, he said that Sarah had laughed, and yet she was thinking that she didn't because her mouth didn't laugh. But then the Lord was saying that she kind of had laughed inside internally in her heart.
Like Hannah prayed.
Exactly. So somehow words like are emanating from the heart.
Yeah.
So even if you suppressed it with your mouth, it's not like you didn't still speak to the Lord out of your heart and put your faith in him.
And you know what other thing they love to say? Well, what if somebody's mute?
Then exactly, they prayed out of their heart, and they believed in Jesus, and regardless if their lips could move, they're saved.
Yeah.
This is a stupid argument coming from someone that just doesn't want to go soul winning anymore or something. You know, Norm obviously went soul winning and would go up to people and try to preach them the gospel. Why would you want to not help that person call on the name of the Lord or to believe in Jesus by helping them pray and ask God to save them? You know, am I really supposed to believe God wants me to ask for everything? Ask for health and prayer for daily food and prayer for all these different things, but he doesn't want me to pray for salvation. Like, that's the only thing that I'm not allowed to pray for. I'm allowed to pray for everything else. It's asinine.
You cannot ask for it.
If you ask for it, not saved.
Nope.
I remember that part in the Bible where they came to Jesus and they said, you know, can I come into heaven? He's like, no, you asked for it.
Yeah.
You should have just believed, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you just believe? Yeah. You know, that was silly for you to ask for it.
You know what? You're just trying too hard, he said.
You worked for
it. I never knew you.
You trusted in your works of asking.
There is another funny point I was going to make.
Well, you know, while you think about that, when I go soul winning, I pray with people and
I make sure
have them to pray.
That they believe,
and every
right?
single time afterwards, I ask them, I say, are you sure you're going to go to heaven now? And you know what they never say to me? Mm. Oh, well, I prayed. I repeated a prayer. Yeah. They say, because I believe in Jesus.
If thou shalt repeat the prayer, thou shalt be saved.
They're never like, oh, I repeated a prayer, so now I'm saved. Yeah. It's like, they say, well, I believe in Jesus. And it's like, exactly. So they know what I'm saying. It's just a prideful person that pretends like they don't know what we're saying.
Yeah, they're making it this whole thing. Yeah, if you, Pastor Shelley thinks that if you repeat the prayer, you're saved. No.
Yeah, you could repeat the prayer 1,000 times and not be saved if you didn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, you can call on the name of the Lord in a lot of contexts, but in the context of Romans 10, it's about spiritual salvation, going to heaven, having God's righteousness imputed unto you. Yeah. You only need it once, and God wants to give it to you, but the Bible says you have not because you ask not.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the reason why people don't have salvation is because they never called on the name of the Lord in faith, and they're not saved. There are people calling on the name of the Lord without faith, and they're not saved.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Bible makes it clear that's what they have to do. Is one time, trust Christ, place their faith in him, they receive eternal life, God's imputed righteousness, and they're saved.
Yeah.
But people attacking this, you know, sometimes they might just be wicked. I don't know.
Yeah, I see the Calvinists attack it a lot. And then I see, like, yeah, even and then, like, these people that are free grace attacking. I'm confused. I'm like, you're just asking. So if you won the lotto, you won $10 million, and you wouldn't ask for the check, yeah, I guess you had to work for it.
Yeah, if you go turn in your lottery ticket, you worked for it.
Yep.
You know,
you said, hey, can I get my $10 million? Oh, you worked for it. Stop it.
Yeah. I mean, if they say, hey, in order to win the lottery, all you have to do is have the right numbers. And then you go up and you have the right numbers on the ticket. And you're like, well, where's my money? And it's like, well, you actually had to turn the ticket in. You actually had to then come and ask for it. And it's like, well, all you said was that I had to have the numbers. I have the right numbers.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, dummy. You still have to go turn in the ticket. And it's like, yeah, just because you understand the gospel's true doesn't mean it just instantly gets applied to you. You just ask for it once you realize God has eternal life on the table for you.
Like Pastor Anderson said that if he asked for his welfare check at the welfare office, that, oh, he asked for it. He had to work for it.
Yeah, these people are employed.
Well, no, you technically had to go to the welfare office.
There is no unemployment. They're working.
They'll come up with anything. It's just like you just ask. Go in your closet or,
you know,
whatever, and just...
You can never tell a homeless person, hey, go get a job, buddy. Because when they ask for money, they're working. They already have a job.
Yeah, that's true. They are working for that money.
So
they said, hey, can I have $5 for a sandwich? Oh, he asked for it. He worked for it.
Yeah.
In no other aspect of life is that working. I'm just so confused. Like, where are the people?
My children are some of the hardest workers you'll ever meet. Because they ask me questions all day, every day. And I mean, man, that's just tiring.
Yeah, every time I ask you a question, I'm just working for it. And you give me the answer, oh, you work for it.
It's just, you know, it's a tiring job to ask for things.
When I said, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, oh, you asked.
You asked what you have to do. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, Can't do that, man. I think the whole thing is just silly. And it just is going to just confuse people, and it's so unnecessary.
Well, when the thief on the cross looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom, Jesus said, oh, sorry, you asked for it.
Yep.
You're going to be in hell, buddy.
Yep.
You shouldn't have worked. You shouldn't have tried to work your way into heaven.
Yeah. Oh, he repeat a prayer.
Yeah. When the publican goes and says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, oh, this guy went home unjustified because he asked for salvation.
Yeah.
He worked for it. He tried to ask the Lord for mercy.
Oh, there's so many examples of, you know, of people asking to be saved.
You could never ask for grace because grace is unmerited. But by asking, you merited it. So therefore, you know, you can't ever actually ask for grace.
It says ask in Matthew 7:7, I think it is. It says ask and it shall be given you. Oh.
Well, how does that even make sense? Doesn't God know that asking is a work? I mean, how does the Bible say that you can ask for something and then be given it? You know, and also if you ask the Heavenly Father, you know, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I asked my wife for a back rub the other night. Oh, I worked for it.
Yeah, you earned that. You earned that.
Yeah, right.
She should be like, why should I give that to you? Well, I asked for it. I mean, what else kind of work do you want me to do here?
Yeah, right. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that she's doing the work. I just asked for it.
You know, I'm going to go to the bank, and I'm going to ask for $1 million. And then they're going to say, why? And I say, I worked for it. because I asked for it.
Yeah.
Right? So I worked for it.
It's so silly, man.
These guys are just too smart for themselves.
It hurts my head.
Yeah, they're too
smart.
Well,
you know what? Next time I'm going to go, when I go soul winning, I'm going to tell someone, look, man, before you get saved, just make sure that you go into a full-blown coma so that your body is shut down and you just cannot do any sort of work for it.
Yeah. Just believe, and if you even try to ask, you're not even saved.
If you even believe, I told you that. Stop it. If I told you, you believe because it's using brain power.
Oh, man. I mean, there's a lot of work.
You could be burning calories while you're doing that, which is a work.
Well, reading the Bible's a work, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, usually a lot of times we're showing them the Bible and they're reading the verses with us. We should stop showing them because by them reading the Bible verses, they're working for their salvation.
Yeah, and they're listening because their ears.
They had to work while they were listening. Man, I can't. I mean, this work salvation. It's just so difficult.
When you go soul winning, you have to tell people, you bring earplugs and you put the blinders over their eyes just so they cannot do any sort of works.
I mean, by standing, is that working? Yes. Do they need to be laying down?
Laying down and so they believe.
Is breathing working? Just don't even breathe right now.
I only go give the gospel to dead people because they're not working.
Yeah. This is like a Calvinist doctrine, you know. What is the dead man?
This is the new doctrine. This honestly, that would be so funny to come out with like a fake doctrine, like something that's a joke, and be like, guys, check out the new doctrine I have.
Well, look, I mean, J.D. Greer, the Calvinist, he said that, you know, some people think of salvation as you're drowning, and you yell out to the lifeguard, "Save me." He's like, that's wrong. Actually, you're dead in the water and you're not even moving and the lifeguard comes and just rips you out of the water and breathes life into you.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's almost like their doctrine of like, you didn't even call on the Lord. You didn't even ask for salvation. Nope. He just breathed believe into you or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you're just sitting there just, no work, believe.
Is that like, it's irresistible grace.
You didn't even make a decision.
No. Nope. Yeah. There's no free will in it.
But I mean, here's a question I always ask these people. It's like, okay, if there's no action involved as far as like believing, in the sense that you didn't call on the Lord, you didn't place your faith in him through, you know, confessing like the Bible says, then how would you know you believed enough?
Yeah, I'm confused now.
Like what? Like, okay, I saw the gospel in here. Does it just instantly make me saved because I saw it, or because I intellectually assented to it? Or because I think it's true? Or like, at what level is your belief enough?
Don't believe it. That's works.
Okay.
Go away now. Don't believe it. Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense.
These guys are just so contradictory. They change on a dime.
How are you how are you telling someone, I'll lead you in prayer. Just repeat after me. But then you're telling people that, oh, well, you know, that's a work.
Well, think about it this way, okay? If asking for salvation means that it's like a false gospel and you're not even saved.
Yeah.
Then when he was leading people in prayer back then, was he not even saved?
Apparently.
So, like, at what point did he even get saved? You know, did he get saved, like, later after realizing, oh, I'd asked for it, I've been working for it all this time.
Yeah.
And now I finally realize that I don't need to ask for it, and then that's when I got saved, or... How does it even work? Because here's the thing.
My brain is hurting, honestly, from
this. If his doctrine is true, he couldn't have been saved when that video was made.
Yeah.
Because if he believes that salvation is not asking, and then he's telling other people to ask, he's not even believing the right thing at that point in time.
Nope.
So he's not even saved. So at what point did he even get saved?
When he came out with that video.
Okay. I finally realized it's not asking, and that's when I got saved.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise you'd have to believe that he was saved and he was teaching a false gospel when asking people to pray and get saved.
Yeah, because I saw his videos before and I even talked to him before and I thought everything he said was good.
I didn't see anything wrong with it. I mean, and even still, he makes videos where he explains, you know, the importance of believing alone and not works, and it sounds good. But then, like, where's this weirdo anti-calling on the name of the Lord, which he clearly believed.
Yeah.
He clearly was trusting. Was he trusting in his prayer back then? Repeating was he trusting in repeating a prayer to save him back then?
Yeah.
Or how does that work?
It doesn't even make sense. And it's just like, I keep repeating this. Nobody said you have to repeat a prayer to be saved. hey, well, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Can't, Jesus, I put my trust in you. Please save me, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wait. I didn't repeat it. So it actually worked.
You know, I've gone soul winning where people didn't actually repeat what I said, or they said it differently, or they wanted to pray their own thing. I guess I should have declared them unsaved because they didn't repeat the prayer.
Yeah.
Repeat a prayer. Rah!
You know, it's like, what? That was so funny.
It's so stupid.
Repeat the prayer. You had to repeat. That's what you believe. You believe that you got to repeat it.
Absolutely.
You're a false prophet. If you don't repeat,
in fact, you don't even have to do anything else. Just repeat it. Just, rah, 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 and you're saved.
Somebody's going to take this out of context and, and say, see, he does. Of course. He believes it. He believes that you got to repeat the prayer to go to heaven.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like I said, I think this whole thing is just silly, and it's just going to, like, it just hurts my head thinking about it. I'm like, because somebody, I just made a video saying that, you know, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And I said, you know, ask him to save you. Just ask him to save you. Oh, that's dangerous. What?
How? Yeah, it's not contradictory. People aren't confused on this.
Yeah.
It's really an online-only doctrine.
Yeah.
You don't see people in real churches and, like, going out soul winning that really believe this.
Well, you're an online pastor.
Super rare.
Yeah. The internet pastor.
I really suck because my church keeps getting taken down and strikes and I terminate the policy. Apparently, you know, our church isn't governed by the Bible. It's governed by YouTube.
Your church just keeps getting not taken down every single time. And you got to keep rebuilding your church.
Oh, man.
Isn't that crazy how that – how long have we been talking about this? Because it's just like a comedy at this point.
It's silly. These people are just – they should really just be made fun of because they're just being stupid. And there's really – there's almost no sense in even trying to be logical with them because they're not logical.
There's no argument.
They're just being foolish on purpose. They're just being stupid, and they're just morons. And they're just too prideful to admit that they're wrong and just change. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't have to keep making fun of you. If you just take your videos down and get the right doctrine, then I'll stop making fun of you.
Because then other than that, we would all agree on everything.
Yeah.
Like pretty much probably 99%, okay, I think we would all agree on. Because I think Norm Diamante said, like, pretty much all good stuff. And then, like, when he came out with this, I was just like, I'm just so confused.
Well, I don't know. He did. Someone asked the other day, he's like, are you a Baptist? And he's like, no, I'm non-denominational.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, what?
You know, if somebody says.
What does that even mean?
If somebody said to me, I'd be like, yeah, I go to the New Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. I said, you know what? But I just believe the Bible. So it's not like I'm saying you have to go to a New Independent Fundamental Baptist Church to be saved. I mean, come on.
Yeah, obviously you don't have to be a Baptist to be saved. You don't have to go to a Baptist church. But how could someone that used to be a Baptist or go to Baptist churches then want to go to a non-denominational church? I mean, that's those churches. You know, and again, I don't know what church he's talking about specifically.
Church of Christ.
But you know,
that the works church.
I've never seen a church that I have more respect for that's not than a fundamental Baptist church.
100%, because, you know, all these, I think I mentioned this to you before, but all the churches that say they're non-denom, they're really denom.
Yeah, they're, in fact, what's so funny about it is you will find more unity amongst non-denom churches than virtually any other denomination, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're describing themselves even with this label, they claim it's non-denom, but it's really a label. You can tell exactly what they're like. Every one of these non-denoms is virtually the exact same. Whereas, you know, you could see a lot of difference between Baptist, you can see a lot of difference between Methodist, you can see a lot of difference between Catholic even, but, you know, you're not going to see a lot of variance between non-denoms. They simply all typically have the same pattern, same activities, same language, same heresies. They're all friends and buddies.
They all read from New Translation, like the NIV and the the NIV. I've seen some read from the ESV, and then what's it, the NLT?
I'll use anything,
pretty much. But here's the thing: why not just read from the King James?
Absolutely.
Why not?
And again, how many non-denoms are King James only? I mean, probably less than 1%
I've never seen it.
It probably exists, but it's probably such a small percentage that it's not even worth mentioning.
Yeah, and like I said, yeah, pretty much all these guys, they, I mean, what would you say most denominations are these so-called non-denominational churches?
Well, again, if you understand, you know, in the 70s or earlier than that even, yeah. non-denominational didn't exist. There yeah. was no such thing as a non-denominational church. So essentially non-denominational churches came from two major denominations, Pentecostals and Baptists. Uh-huh. So it essentially what they would do is they would just drop the name. Instead of being such and such Pentecostal church or such and such Baptist church, they would just drop that lingo, yeah. and then they're just this, quote, non-denom church.
To get more people.
Well, but honestly, and that's some of it, but a lot of them are church splits. So you'd have a Baptist church preach against a particular doctrine, yeah. and they would have a bunch of heretics say, well, we don't believe that. So they would go start their own little cult church,
yeah.
and then it just would grow into these big non-denom churches. So most non-denom churches are just an unbiblical separation, heretics, but they really spawn from... They were basically Baptist light or Pentecostal light, mm-hmm. and so they were mostly that kind of particular denomination. And most non-denominational churches are very similar to a Southern Baptist church because they're just kind of Southern Baptist light. Yeah. So or they're kind of a Pentecostal charismaniac
yeah.
type
with all the denomination. Casting out demons and all that nonsense.
Yeah, but they're almost all virtually the same.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yeah,
but he seems like he's devolving. It's like he was Baptist, I believed, and then now he's not the nom.
Yeah,
he was believing and you know calling on the name of the Lord. Now he's not. So it's like, what is he going to devolve to next? You know, he needs to get right.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like the reason I like the New Independent Fundamental Baptist churches is because it's coming from the Bible. You guys preach the whole Bible, and you actually understand it. And ever since I really started listening to you guys, it just helped me understand the Bible. Everything just became clear to me. It like the Bible says, to rightly divide the word of truth. And most people really can't.
Well, if you're saved and you're actually reading the Bible, I think you're going to be drawn to preaching like Pastor Anderson yeah. or other great New IFB preachers because... It lining up with what the Bible actually says. So it kind of feeds itself.
Yeah.
You hear that kind of preaching, and it makes you want to read the Bible, and then you read mm-hmm. the Bible, and they're both saying the same thing, and they both kind of draw you to one another. Whereas the reason why a lot of people don't go to a church like ours is because they're not reading the Bible.
Yeah. When I go to your church, it makes me want to read the Bible more. Because I'm like, oh, I want to read into that more and understand it more. But yeah, like when I went to these other churches, I don't care.
Well, they don't bring anything stupid up in the Bible.
No, they don't, barely.
Yeah, it's nice to, when you hear a sermon about biblical topics, do you think like, I want to go check out that reference they mentioned or this story or see what, I'm reminded of a verse. And honestly, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're saved. A lot of times the Holy Spirit will remind you of verses in the Bible that weren't even mentioned in the sermon, but they're just related to that topic or you're something you're kind of thinking yeah. about. And so it's like a way to actually be edified mm-hmm. through preaching, even though it wasn't directly as a result, like it wasn't the preacher saying it, it's the Holy Spirit reminding you of other things in the Bible.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, I really appreciate you doing this video, guy. And guys watching, if you enjoyed this video, please be sure to leave a like and leave a comment and subscribe to the channel. And be sure to check out Pastor Jonathan Shelley. I'm sure a bunch of his sermons are also still up on YouTube. And you have a Rumble, correct?
Yeah, Rumble's a good place to find us. You can just type in Steadfast Baptist or Baptist. We usually pop up pretty quick.
Sweet.
And that's a way you can check our sermons every week.
Amen. All right, guys. I'll see you in the next video.